Haideți cu toții să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la 1 Corinteni, capitolul 1. Am să citesc de la versetul 22 la 31, la final. So 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 22 to the end. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the men, and the weakness of God is stronger than the men. For you see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I think the way we measure things is so much different a lot of times than the way God is measuring things. And I believe that a lot of things that we might put in our CV, God might not put. And also I believe that the perception that we have on life, a lot of times it's so much different than the perception that God has on our life. In this text, there's some really heavy words. Paul talks here about the craziness of God and about the weakness of God. I don't know what's the craziness of God. And to be honest with you, I don't know what's the weakness of God either. Maybe, just maybe, we can look at this weakness of God as a father that has a son. And his son did all these bad things, and now the father is supposed to punish him. But in his love for his son, he might say, you know what, because I love you so much and you are my son, I will show you this mercy and I won't punish you. Maybe, just maybe, that's the weakness of God. In other words, it could be the goodness of God. You see, I don't really believe in predestination, and I'm going to make this clear. What do I mean by this? You see, a lot of people say, I'm supposed to go in hell anyway, so I'm just going to live my life as the way I want to because I don't really care. Of course, God knows our future and God knows our life. As the way it's written in Psalm 139, he knows you before I was in my mother womb. But he gives me a choice. He gives you a choice. He gives us an opportunity. And he says, repent of your sins and live a godly life and you will be in heaven. Or live the way the devil wants you to live and you will end up in hell. Very simple. Even though I don't believe in a predestination, when we talk about our life, I believe of a predestination when we talk about our soul. And when we talk about our inside of us, our discipline. You know, what do I mean by this? There's a predestination to serve, brothers and sisters. There's a predestination to serve. You know, some people are predestinated to preach. Some other people are predestinated to sing, and if they would preach, maybe it would be a chaos in the church. Some other people are predestinated to be ushers, and you might tell me right now, what's such a big deal to be an usher? Everyone can be an usher. False. It's an amazing thing to be an usher. To have that smile on your face. To have those words that only God gives you. To welcome someone that wants to come here with his problems to meet Jesus. It's an amazing thing, brothers and sisters. Some other people are predestinated to be men and women of prayer. And what do I mean by that? Of course, we all should be people of prayer. But there's some people there that are staying in the gap all the time. There's some people that are always there. And you might not see their work that much a lot of times. But without them, the church wouldn't be where it is right now. The church would probably be a chaos. The church would be something else. A man with a vision is a man that lets himself used by God. A man with a vision is a man that lets himself used by God. What do I mean by this? A lot of times, we don't let ourselves used by God. It's like Like a potter. You have a potter that makes a really nice pot from the clay. He's going to create a really nice pot from the clay. But he's never going to be able to make the same pot from a rock. The rock, it's stiff. The rock, it's hard. It's impossible to make it like that. That's us, brothers and sisters. A lot of times we need to let ourselves used by God. A lot of times we come in front of God with a big nothing, with a big zero. Cum cântam în cântarea aia, nu așa cum sunt la tine vin. Frumoasă cântarea. Dar frați și surori, dacă după 20 de ani cântăm aceeași cântare, e o problemă. You can't come in front of God after 20 years of walking with Him as the way you came in the second day. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. It's like you have a son, because most of you guys are here parents, and your son that is 20 years old, he acts like a 5-year-old. You're going to acknowledge and you're going to say there is a problem and you will have to go to the doctor. The same thing with us. We can't act after 20 years of walking with God the same way we did at the beginning. We have to be different. We need to grow. God doesn't want us to be fed only with spiritual milk. Sometimes we need to be fed with some spiritual meat, brothers and sisters. This is what God wants us to do. A man with a mission is a man with a vision. And this is the title of my message tonight. Again, a man with a mission is a man with a vision. You see, we're talking about missioning a lot of times. We're talking about going in Africa. We're talking about going in Romania. We're talking about going in Mexico. We're talking about doing a lot of missioning. We're talking about going to Bible schools. We're talking about going to Bible colleges. We're talking about going to conferences. We're talking about going to the conventions. But if I don't have a vision before I do that mission, brothers and sisters, might end up being a fail. A man with a vision is a man that makes a difference. A man with a vision is a man like John Walker. A man goes into a village one time, and he had this routine of getting drunk and drinking alcohol at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he looks for a bar. He looks for a place to drink some alcohol, and he can't find anything. And suddenly he sees a man, and he says, "Sir, do you know here a bar? Do you know a place where I can have some shots?" And the man says, "Sir, I'm sorry, but I don't think you'll find anything here." "What do you mean?" "Well, let me tell you something. About 100 years ago, there was a man named John Walker that came into our village. And he told us that alcohol is bad. And alcohol comes from the devil, not from God. And all the people in this village decided to just burn all their bars and not drink any alcohol anymore. Because 100 years ago, there was a man with a vision." A man with a vision is, brothers and sisters, a man like Peter Cartwright, one of the most known Methodist preachers, a man that was known by going and spreading the word of God on a horse, spreading the gospel. And one time he stops in front of a restaurant, bar, and he was starving. He wanted to ask for some food. He gets inside. And when he gets inside, he realized that it's a night of joy, a night of happiness, a night of dancing. And suddenly, the prettiest girl in the whole restaurant comes and asks Peter Cartwright for a dance. The people stopped. They were all shocked. The music stopped. The singing stopped. The dancing stopped. And they were all looking at them. We don't know why she did that. Maybe she wanted to make her boyfriend jealous, or maybe she just wanted to make fun of Peter Cartwright. That wasn't really a good-looking person. And Peter Cartwright, holding her hand, goes, "Ma'am, before I dance with you, I want to ask you for a favor. You know, since I received God in my life, for every little thing that I do, before I do it, I want to ask for God's blessing, and I want to pray with you." When she heard that, she got all red, got all embarrassed, and she wanted to leave. And he said, no, you're not going to leave. You wanted to dance, now you have to pray with me. And he was holding her hand tight. And they start praying. And they pray for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. She started weeping. The people got together. And in that night, they were baptized 32 persons there. And it was founded the first Methodist church in that village because there was a man with a vision. What kind of people are those? What kind of people are us, you and I? We don't have horses, we have horsepower. But the question is, what kind of vision do I have? What kind of vision do you have? A man with a mission is a man with a vision. And tonight I'm going to be talking about three characteristics of a man with a vision. A man with a vision is, first of all, a fearless man. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13 that the only fear that we should have would be the fear of God, not the people. Brothers and sisters, don't fear the people. Fear God only. 1 Samuel 17, we all know the story, probably from Sunday school, when David goes, sent by his own father, Ishai, to bring some food for his brothers. They were in the war. The people of Israel, they were in the war with the Philistines, and they were all scared because of this giant Goliath. They would ask for someone to fight one-on-one, and no one would dare fighting with him. And he would bring blasphemies to the people of Israel and to the Lord God Almighty every day. And very interesting, one of the first questions that David asked when he gets there is, what shall be done to the man that is going to defeat this Philistine? Of course, when he has that question, I'm sure that his brothers are all like, oh, David, you're sneaky, you're sketchy. What are you talking about? We know you. Huh? You wanted to come here to see the fight, huh? No. David understood that there was a need for a hero in Israel. God wanted to have a hero, and there wasn't a hero. And David wanted to be that hero for God's glory. Because his brothers, they saw in Goliath the death. David saw the life. They saw the fail. He saw the success. They were full of fear, but he was full of courage. God wants a hero in this church. God wants a hero in your family. God wants a hero at your job. God wants a hero between your friends. God wants a hero in your entourage. God wants a hero in your class. Are you going to be that hero for God's glory? Or I'm just going to step back. You're just going to step back and say, you know what, God, I don't want to. I'm just going to lose myself in the crowd. I'm just going to lose myself into the routine. God wants a hero. Are you going to be that hero? Am I going to be that hero? That's the question that I'm asking myself. You see, God tells in Revelation to the people in Laodicea, he says, buy from me lotion to put on your eyes and see. Because you think you see, but you don't, you're blind. A lot of times we're asking ourselves, you know, I'm wondering, I don't know, should I come to church next week or I shouldn't? I'm kind of wondering, you know, is it China? Maybe if it's China, I'm coming. If it's not China, maybe I won't come. I don't know, who's going to preach next week? I'm wondering, if he's going to preach, I'll come. If the other one's going to preach, I won't come. And a lot of times we're asking ourselves, I don't know, should I do it or I shouldn't? Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Cuvântul Domnului spune, nu vă îngrijorați de ziua de mâine, ajunge zile necazului și e cine să se îngrijoreze de ziua de mâine. And you know what? If God's going to come tomorrow, then be it. We're all going to be happier. But a man with a vision is a man that is not going to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. A man with a vision is going to be a man that is going to think, what's going to happen with my church in 10, 20 years? What's going to happen with my life in 10, 20 years? What's going to happen with your kids in 10, 20 years? What's going to happen with the youth in 10, 20 years? What's going to happen with our brothers and our sisters in 10, 20 years? This is the vision that we should have, brothers and sisters. This is the vision that you should have. This is the vision that I should have. A man with a vision is a man that has a spiritual understanding too, like David. You know, Saul comes and asks him, I mean, are you sure you want to fight with him? Let me tell you something, King Saul. When the lion would come and the bear would come and I would protect the sheep of my father, Ishai, I would smash the lion's head and I would smash the bear's head. If I did that with the sheep of my physical father, Ishai, how much more victory I'm going to have when I'm going to smash the head of this giant Goliath that is bringing blasphemies not only to my brothers, not only to my physical father Ishai, but to my Lord God Almighty. This is the spiritual understanding that we need to have, brothers and sisters. A man with a vision is a man that has a spiritual communication with God. Okay, David, says probably Saul, you know, I'm trying to believe that what you're saying is from God, you know, I'm trying to believe you, but you know, I don't know, you're just a little kid, you know, you're so innocent, I don't know, you're so, let me give you my armor, let me give you my shield, let me give you my sword. And David says, I don't need it. What do you mean I don't need it? Just a sling. Opraște. Doamne, dar am cancer! Doamne, dacă copilul ăsta e bolnav de leucemie, sunt în necazuri, sunt în probleme, Doamne, sunt în datorii, Doamne, soțul mă părăsește, soția îmi face necaz, copiii îmi fac rușine, Doamne, și Tu îmi dai o praștie! O praștie și o lovitură. Because you don't need more than that. You only need one shot, my dear and my loved brothers and sister. You don't need more than that. Because one shot, it's enough. Behind that shot is God. Because Goliath is big in your life. The problem is big in your life. The Satan is creating a big problem in your life. And when the problem is big, when the problem is huge, you only need one shot. Because you can't miss it. Because it's so big that you can't miss it. You can miss Goliath. You can miss the problem. It's huge. I don't know if he would be small. Maybe you would miss it because it's small, you know. You shouldn't hear, and he's there. But being so big, you can't miss it. Trust in God. Don't have fear. This is a man with a vision. A man that is fearless. Two. A man with a vision is a man that gives everything and sacrifices everything. In John 6, we all know that passage from the Bible when Jesus and the disciples are crossing the Sea of Tiberias. And you see, you have Jesus there, and you have the 12 disciples. And another 5,000 people, or over 5,000 people, they were waiting to be fed physical and spiritually. And Jesus is testing the disciples, and he says, what should we do with them? They're starving. Let's feed them. And Philip comes first, like you and I so many times. But we can't, God. We have 200 dinners. Like, we have 20 bucks. That's all we have. Jesus, we have 20 bucks. There's 5,000 people. It's impossible, in other words. This is Philip. This is you and me so many times. I can't. You know what, God? You better resolve my problem because you're my God. Frații și surori, nicăieri în Biblie nu scrie că noi trebuie să fim numai iubiți. Nicăieri în Biblie nu scrie că acum, dacă noi îl avem pe Dumnezeu, El trebuie să ne facă nouă toate nevoile și noi nu trebuie să facem nimica, nu-i nicio datorie. Doamne, rezolvă-mi problema și dacă nu o rezolvi, cârtesc. Dacă nu o rezolvi, îți nemulțumit. Nicăieri nu scrie asta. God is going to resolve your problems. God's going to answer your question, but you need to do your part too. I need to do my part too. Andrew understands that it's his responsibility to do his part, and he jumps in the crowd. He goes in the crowd, and he comes up with a little kid. We expect so many times Obama to resolve our problems. Obama didn't resolve your problems for 4 years, and he won't resolve it the next 4 years either. The Congress won't resolve your problems. The only one that can resolve our problems is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. Trust him. He's the only one that can resolve our problems. He's the only one that we should go to. And he's coming with a kid. A little kid there. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to hear about Jesus. He said, Mom, I want to see Jesus. Well, like, let me give you here a lunchbox. I don't know. 5 fish, 2 bread, something there to have. Maybe you'll be hungry. That's why I love God so much, because he works in miraculously and in amazing ways. Ways that we don't think a lot of times. And please bear with me now. You see, you have the disciples. You have the 12 disciples. You have this kid in the middle. And you see, you have Jesus Christ. And probably one of them asked him and said, okay, how much are you going to pitch in? Cât dai și tu, nu? I mean, văd că ai 5 pești, 2 pești. Nu ajungi oricum, asta e clar. Dar știu și eu, un pic de la tine, un pic de la altul se adună. And he says, I'll give everything. What? Tot. I'll give everything. Jesus looks in his eyes and says, now is the time for a miracle. I'll give everything. A lot of times we come in front of God, God, I'll give you 10% this month, I'll give you 3.5 the next one, 2.9. It's not about a percentage, it's not about a number. Give everything, or whatever you give, give it with all your heart. God, I'll give you 51% of my time, 50% I'll give it to my 51, 50 plus 1, 51. The rest, I have to spread it between my business, between my job, between my wife, between your kids, I don't know. I'll spread it. No, God wants everything. And you know what? Why he wants everything? Because he gave everything. He didn't give us, brothers and sisters, just an angel there. Look, angel Gabriel, for you, to come and die for you. No, he gave us Jesus Christ, his only son, his only beloved son, everything that he had. He gave it for us. He died for us, and he saved us through him. That's why he wants everything. God wants everything from us because he first gave everything. A man with a vision is, third of all, an unstoppable man. Unstoppable not from lying, unstoppable not from cheating, unstoppable not from hurting, unstoppable not from backstabbing, unstoppable from having a desire to see Jesus. Zacchaeus climbs on the tree. You know, people were looking at him, come on, man, I mean, you're an adult, you know, you're going on your trees, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, you know. And Jesus looks at him and says, come down, I'm going to have a dinner in your home tonight. In other words, I'm going to enter in your house, in your life tonight, because I saw you opening your heart for me. A lot of times you're probably bothered, I don't know what's wrong with these guys, man, always like raising their hands up. The one next to you, oh, I can't even pray, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's always like having to spread his hands up. When the people of Israel enter into Canaan, before they did that, God says, you know, you have to go around the wall 7 days. In the seventh day, you're going to go 7 times. You're going to blow the trumpets, and then the walls are going to come down. When are the walls going to come down? When you will blow the trumpets. It feels like we forgot to blow the trumpets a lot of times, brothers and sisters. It feels like we forgot to scream. It feels like I'm just too comfortable to worship. Brothers and sisters, if we can't worship here, those 10, 20, 30, 50, 70 years that God gives you, how are we going to worship him in heaven? How are we going to worship him in heaven? A woman was married for 20 years. And Her whole marriage was a nightmare. Besides the fact that her husband was cheating on her the whole time, she was beaten, she was abused, and everything that is bad and can happen to someone happened to this lady. One night at 2 o'clock in the morning, her husband wakes up and he goes on his knees, he starts praying, he starts crying. He's waking her up. They pray together until the morning. Since that day, that man changed. And you know, this woman goes to the church and talks to her pastor, and she tells the pastor the whole situation and everything that happened and the miracle that happened in her life. And after she said everything that she had to say, the pastor goes, and how long did you go around the walls, sister? And she goes, for 20 years. 20 years of my life. I prayed for him every day and I fasted twice a week, Monday and Wednesday. 20 years. 20 years. The walls are not going to come down if you will quit. The walls are not going to come down if you stop, if you say, I'm tired. No. You know, Elijah is on Carmel and he's waiting for a miracle, but he does his part first. He brings the altar, he prays, he does his part, and then he's waiting for a miracle. And he sends his servant, come on, go, do you see something? I mean, they were waiting for rain. It didn't rain in the country for 3 years, you know? And the servant, he goes once, twice, three, four times, nothing. I mean, you pray, but you sweat, you know? Nothing. And then suddenly, oh, Elijah, I see a small cloud. It's very small. It's like this palm. A small cloud that will bring you a big rain. A small cloud that will bring a big rain. My brother and my sister, don't ever stop praying. Don't think that, oh, no one hears me. God is hearing you. You never know when's the right number of the prayers that God wants to listen in order to give you that healing, to make that miracle in your life, to give you that blessing that you were asking for so long. And until then, you will see nothing. Just praying, fasting, being faithful, living godly, having a right life with God, and you will see nothing. And then suddenly, you will see a small cloud that will bring a big rain in your life. But don't stop praying. Be an unstoppable man. Be an unstoppable woman for God. You know, a hunter was shooting a bear, and he didn't kill it. The bear was hurt, but he wasn't dead, and he tried to shoot it again, but he just realized that he didn't have any more bullets, and he started running. He's almost at the cabin, and he tried to open the door. The bear was running, you know, even though he was hurt towards him, and he tried to open the door, but the door was locked. And then he reached his hands in his pocket and tried to grab the keys, and he just realized that the keys were inside the house. He was just 6 inches away from freedom, just 6 inches away from life, and the hunter came and killed him. I was talking to someone a long time ago, and I'm happy that he died, and he died in Christ. But I was talking to him, and he was telling me, you know, I don't really care about you guys Christians. I mean, I see you guys go to church all the time, and, you know, you guys are so holy moly about this whole thing. You know, I'm okay. I'm trying to be a good person, you know, and if I'm going to be there, you know, and after me, the gates of heaven, they can just shut the door, I'm fine. And I said, don't count on that. There might be too many there, and you might not fit. The bear is the devil, brothers and sisters. The bear is he's hurt, but he's not dead. And he still drags people from the gates of the heaven down. He still splits families. He still destroys families. He's still destroying couples. He's still working. Be an unstoppable man for Jesus. Be an unstoppable woman for Christ. This is what a man with a vision is, brothers and sisters. Very simple. A man with a vision is a man that is fearless, that doesn't have any kind of fear except the fear of God. Matei 10 cu 28 spune, nu vă temeți de cei ce poate să ucidă trupul, dar nu pot ucide sufletul. Ci mai degrabă temeți-vă de cel ce poate să piardă și trupul și sufletul în ghenă. A man with a vision is a man that gives everything, that sacrifices everything. You have your heart. That's what Jesus wants, your heart. Give it all. Proverbe 23 cu 26, fiule, dă-mi inima ta și să-și găsească ochii tăi plăcere în căile mele. A man with a vision, brothers and sisters, is a man that is unstoppable. Unstoppable from wanting to have a relationship with God. Unstoppable from being in church. Unstoppable from being involved. Unstoppable from praying. Unstoppable from fasting. Unstoppable from having a desire for Jesus. Unstoppable from giving. Unstoppable from helping the others. Unstoppable from being there when someone needs you. Being there when someone needs you. Don't turn your back. Be there, because Jesus was there for you. This is what a man with a vision is. Cum spune Pavel, apostolul Pavel, așa de mult îmi place în 1 Corinteni 9. Eu alerg, dar nu ca unul care nu știe unde aleargă, încotro aleargă. Mă luc cu pumnul, dar nu ca unul care dă în vânt. Nu știți că toți cei ce aleargă la locul de alergare, cu toții aleargă, însă doar unul capătă premiu. Alergați, dar, în așa fel să căpătați premiu. Doamne, ajută-ne în această seară să înțelegem viziunea pe care o avem. Viziunea pe care ne-o dai Tu. Doamne, vrem să împlinim voia Ta. Doamne, avem un scop în această lume. Doamne, ne-ai dat un scop în această viață și vrem, Doamne Dumnezeule, ca scopul ăla să fie pentru Tine și pentru gloria Ta. Doamne, nu vrem să fim pierduți lumii, Doamne. Doamne, nu vrem, Doamne, să punem accent pe lucrurile lumești. Doamne, ajută-ne să ne sfințim în Tine, Doamne. Doamne, dacă vezi răutate, dacă vezi viclenie, dacă vezi vicleșug, dacă vezi păcat, spală Tu în această seară, Doamne, și ajută-ne să fim copiii Tăi, Doamne. Ajută-ne să trăim pentru Tine, Doamne, pentru că nu știm când va veni ziua și ceasul și vrem să fim gata. Ajută-ne să avem o viziune clară. Ajută-ne să avem o viziune adevărată, Doamne. Ajută-ne să Te iubim și mai presus de atât, să ne iubim pe unii pe alții, Doamne, cu iubirea Ta, în sfințenia Ta, în dragostea Ta. Haleluia, slăvit să fie numele Tău. Domnul să vă binecuvinteze. Amin.